Brethren, it's that time of the week again. Matt is slowly collecting egg boxes in an attempt to soundproof his office, to hide the fact he has a crap microphone, because he won't fork out for a better one. Josh is already contemplating which high-ranking brother he can insult today. Matthew has his pint of water ready and calls it Lent, despite the fact he drinks alcohol each Sunday. And I've got 30 minutes until the next episode of The Kardashians is on, so these guys better make this quick. It's the Leeds Light Blues podcast, everybody. Go mental.
Hello and welcome to the Leeds Light Blues podcast. You're joining me, your host, Brother Matt Nemiria, and with me tonight...
Brother Josh Doherty Turnbull.
Brother Matthew Wharton.
Worshipful Brother Andrew Polviak.
Brother Jordan Ramoth.
Brethren, thank you very much for coming along and in the house. Worshipful Master, welcome.
Good evening. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. And Jordan, Brother Jordan, thank you for coming along. The mastermind
thanks.
And chief artist behind the awesome Leeds Light Blues logo that we mentioned last week. He's finally joined us on the podcast. Welcome.
It's fantastic to have some new voices on.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you. Cheers. Yeah, it's good to be here.
So, without further ado, brethren, Wishful Master, are we charged in the South?
We are all charged in the South.
And Brother Jordan, are we charged in the West?
All charged in the West.
Brethren, the Queen and the Craft.
The Queen and the Craft.
The Queen and the Craft.
Queen and the Craft.
Excellent. Right, so, let's crack
Unless
on.
You're from Salford.
What?
In Salford, I believe they toast the Lord of the Manor of Salford, which also happens to be the Queen. Better fact check that, though.
Let's start with some introductions. So, Jordan, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm a member of two lodges. Firstly, Aurora Lodge 4047, and secondly, the Leeds Lodge 9867. And I've been a Mason, Master Mason, for about a year. Been in Freemasonry about 2 years, and I'm just taking it a little bit, every bit as it comes, I guess. So just sort of, just letting it all sort
just
of
sink
unfold.
In and, you know, just enjoy it.
Yeah. Letting everything kind of happen naturally, and I have joined a side order, but we can come to that a bit later, I guess.
Thank you.
Wish for Brother Andy.
Like Jordan, my mother lodge is Aurora. I've recently been installed in the chair. Been a Mason, I think, 7 years now. It's been a fantastic journey. And I can honestly say, under my eye, it's the best decision I ever made, joining the craft. Because what I've got out of it is, if you're not a member, it's hard to describe just the genuine camaraderie that we do share for each other.
Definitely.
As well as that, I am in Corona, Royal Art Chapter, as well as Brother Matthew, who's with us tonight. And I am also in Leodiensis Rose Choir.
Awesome. Right then, so as is tradition with the podcast, generally anyone new that we get on, we got to do their top three lodges. So we're just going to put you straight on the spot. So Brother Jordan, what are your top three lodges that you've visited?
A few that kind of really stand out to me. Firstly, I'll start with the Old Giggles Wiccan Lodge. Mm-hmm. That's number 8263. And I think you came with me to that, didn't you?
Yeah. It was a good night.
Yeah, it's different because of the... I just really enjoyed seeing the difference in the fact that, you know, all the members, or predominantly the members, are all ex-members of the Old Giggles Wiccan School, and they kind of wear their old school ties rather than the kind of your standard Masonic ties. And it's just a bit quirky. Mm. The setting's quirky. That stood out as one of my first visits. Right behind the building behind the lodge, it's the lodge building behind it, there is kind of like what looks like a miniature mountain. It's really bizarre. And and it's just it just stands out as well. They have a really good cheese board. So
you have me sold.
That is what it's all about.
It's all I need.
So what are your other two?
Before I go to my second one, can I just give an honourable mention as well to where I was passed, and that was the St. John's Lodge, which is in Dewsbury. That's number 827. Mm. Just because they made me really welcome, and it's the first time they'd ever done a passing that wasn't a member of their own lodge. And they just made me really, really welcome. And they actually gave me a really nice token afterwards that was a framed picture of their, of a kind of print of that somebody had done of the lodge building.
Shout out to the St. John's Lodge, because they were on our podcast last week, weren't they, guys? It was they'd done the, they got the Easter eggs for the care homes.
That's great.
And what's your third? So that's your honourable mention.
So that was an honourable mention. My second will be, so again, this is very personal, but it's the Leeds Lodge, which I've joined now, and that was because it was one of the first ones that I visited that was outside of Aurora, and I felt I needed to join it, not one because I lived directly across the road from where they meet in the centre of town, but two, it's just like a kind of different kind of atmosphere that I really kind of clicked with. It's quite laid back. The lodge room is very, because it's within the Cosmopolitan Hotel building in town. Mm. It's sort of not, original purpose wasn't for masonry, so it's quite makeshift, but it's like it's not about the building that you're in, it's about the people that you're definitely with. And the people there in that lodge are really friendly, and it's just such a good kind of vibe that I got, that I just really enjoyed it and wanted to be part of it. And then I think to top it, and sorry to be somebody that goes on, a bit of like a bandwagon here, but I will say the Lodge of Fidelity.
Popular one on the podcast.
And I think... the main reason why is because booze. let's be honest, it's just a really boozy, fun affair, and I didn't join masonry to be like a drunkard, but it's nice to find like-minded people, and it's just again a bunch of really friendly folk, And because of that, again, personally, that's why I've put myself forward to join the Fidelity chapter. I'm not joined yet, but they're a group of people that are, I know that obviously not all of the members of the lodge are in the chapter, but a fair few of them are.
I know a bunch of people in that chapter, and it's a strong lineup. If I've been sincerely tempted to join that myself, but I'm trying to get further afield.
Well,
I actually visited the Chapter of Fidelity just before everything closed down. And in fact, they actually mentioned yourself, Jordan.
They did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Well, you don't know what it's all about yet.
No, I don't.
You don't know what they said either.
No, absolutely. I'm just thinking. I was like, "Oh, that's great," and then it's like, "All positive things. Is that good?"
But when does the goat come out?
This is the But this is the good thing. It's like, you know, whether you're an entered apprentice or you're, you know, a master mason, there's always a level where somebody's a bit that knows something a bit more than you don't, or that you know that's something more than the next person, and it's quite interesting. Keeps you on your toes. You know, when you're not, it's not like you never get to a point where you think, well, I know it all now.
Yeah, there's always something to learn. Definitely.
Yeah, and it's really nice. So, looking forward to joining that, hopefully, if and when all this craziness stops. But that's my top three anyway. And I know that's not anything quite like out there, but that's just, it's my own personal little journey that I'm trying to keep it all very close to my heart.
Thank you, Jordan. And let's raise a glass then to the three lodges. So Old Gables Wickian, the St John's Lodge, as the special mention as well.
The Leeds Lodge and
the Lodge of Fidelity. To those lodges.
To the lodges.
Andy, you're up. What are the top three lodges you've ever visited?
My top three, this is going to sound sycophantic, however it's not, it is genuine. I would urge anybody who's not been as a brother, if they ever get invited to go to Grand Lodge, to the Quarterly Communications. I had privilege of going 3 or 4 years ago before I became a member. When you become a junior warden, you're automatically a member of Grand Lodge. And it was thanks to our brother, Alan Eardley, who is our lodge liaison officer. He pushed for us to go. And myself and brother Nissar and Paul Goddard, who's left now, unfortunately, pushed to go. A few of our members then decided to jump on the bandwagon and we went down en masse. And to see that temple with 1,300 people hailing from Stockholm, Hong Kong, Mexico, the leaders of masonry in their own countries, it was an unbelievable experience. Wow. And again, like I said, I have to say thank you to Alan for arranging that, and I will be going back when I do get a chance. That's my first one. My second one would be, I do believe it was the first lodge that I visited on my own without anyone from Aurora, and that will have been Brother Stephen's lodge, Stability, Stephen Patterson. Mm-hmm. I do believe he gave a lecture on Manly P Hall. And the third one keeps getting mentioned, and it keeps getting mentioned for a reason. If you get the chance to visit Fidelity, you're in for a treat.
Yeah.
Their social board is genuine. The friendship, the bonds they have is genuine. The jokes they crack are good, funny jokes. I don't think there's anybody who's sensitive in that lodge because of what the things they say. And their ritual, I went to Worship Brother Lee's installation last year. I think a few of us went, and that was fantastic. Big shout out to Alex, who was installing him.
Yeah.
The ritual was
brilliant. Absolutely.
What we saw before we got kicked out, and I've no doubt that the actual installation itself, when we was outside of the lodge, will have been just as good. So, in a sense, I'm envious of Lee, because I don't think you'll see a ceremony as good as that again. And that's not knocking any other lodge, because we put the effort in Aurora, and we're known for its good ritual. Mm. However, to see that and not be biased, hats off to the lodge.
Let's toast those three lodges.
To Andy's lodges.
To the lodges.
Brethren, it's 9 o'clock. Time's toast. Absent brethren.
Absent brethren.
To absent brethren.
To absent brethren.
And we move on to our shout-outs for the evening. So, two likes this week on the group. We have the Hartington Lodge and Phil Fraser. Special mention to Phil Fraser. You'll remember from last week's episode, we mentioned about the Lodge of Dawn's appearance in Lee's Life magazine. Well, it was actually Phil that orchestrated that, so a big shout-out to you, Phil, and well done for doing that. So, brethren, let's raise a glass to our guests.
To our guests.
To our guests.
To all our guests.
To our guests.
Excellent. Right then, so going on in and around the province this week, and masonry in general, it's been a pretty quiet week this week, not as much going on. Josh, do you want to give a brief update on the lectures? I think obviously tomorrow our time is the first lecture. Do you want to give an update on the second one as
well? So by the time this goes out, the Tony Harvey lecture will have completed, and it will have been a resounding success. When this goes out, the Talking Heads lecture will be tomorrow. Edit this out, I'm about to burp.
That is definitely not getting edited out.
So when this goes out, the Talking Heads lecture will be tomorrow, and it will be amazing. Really looking forward to that. Chances are there'll still be spaces available in a week's time. So if you want to attend that, follow, drop us an email at events@lightblues.co.uk. There will be further lectures announced in due course. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter, Leeds Light Blues, for all the latest details, including a lecture on the building of King Solomon's Temple, and a further lecture from Worship of the Tony Harvey.
Brilliant. So you heard it, brethren. Events@lightblues.co.uk, and keep tuned onto our Facebook and Twitter, facebook.com/LeedsLightBlues, twitter.com/LeedsLightBlues. Okay, before we move on to the main topic of the evening, last week we had the riddle of the week, and the riddle of the week last week was...
If I can remember it again. If you have me... What was it again, Josh?
Kidding me.
If you have me, you want to share me.
And if you share me...
And if you share, yeah. If you have me, you want to share me. And if you share me, you don't have me. What am I? And the answer was a secret.
Oh, okay. And so what's the riddle of this week?
I'm tall when I'm young, and I'm short when I'm old. What am I? Please leave your comments on Facebook and Twitter. And we'll shout out the winner.
Could you repeat that one more time?
I'm tall when I'm young, and I'm short when I'm old. What am I?
So, moving on to the main topic of the evening. We are tonight going to be discussing the next step in Freemasonry, or what is known as the next step in Freemasonry, and that is the Holy Royal Arch. Now, not only are we going to be discussing that, but we're also going to be discussing another option as well, when to Master Masons, which is also the degree of a Mark Mason. And luckily with us this evening, we have a whole collection of brothers who are in both orders. We've got myself, Matthew, and Andy, who are in Royal Arch. And then we've got Jordan, who is in Mark. So I think we'll start off with, let's start off with Mark Masonry. So Jordan, tell us a little bit about Mark Masonry. What's it about? What's the appeal? What made you want to join?
Well, I did the kind of thing that some people, I assume, might have done. Once they become a Master Mason, and it's sort of, right, I know there's all these side orders that I've heard about, and firstly, I just want to see what they're all called, and, you know, which ones, what's actually available. So I had a little look, and I just, like, looked at all the names, and you can find them, you just Google, like, you know, all the different things and steps in Masonry, and they're all there, and they don't, obviously you don't know anything about them, that you can just read what the names are, and it's sort of once you become a Master Mason, there is a little bit of a time when people do start to approach you and ask you if you've thought about them, like where you're going to go next, or if you want to. Some people can warn you off this as well. You know, don't, you know, you get mixed reviews on things. And some people have said to me, you know, try and just focus on your craft first before you go anywhere else. And some people have said, you know, it's up to you what you want to do. You just do what you want to do. And, you know, obviously, like anything, you know, you can take all your advice, but at the end of the day, it's up to you to decide. And in a light blues setting with, I don't think either of you guys were actually there, but it was part of our Leeds Light Blues, one of our meetups.
Oh, this was a thing I organised, but only us.
You were there. Yes, Josh, you were there. And it was Jules and Brother Jules, I was just talking to him about what he did, and he said he was in Mark, and just because it was just sort of, he was there, he just said, would you like to join? And I said, yeah, why not? You know, I didn't know anything about it. I knew as much about Mark as I knew about masonry. But you know, if the shoe fits, I just thought, just let's just say yes. While the going's good, yeah, let's definitely. Just do it. And I can honestly say I'm glad that I did say yes to it. I mean, obviously I can't tell you the things that we do, but I've only been to one meeting, which is when
is it called an initiation? Sort of what is that? Because in chapter it's an exaltation.
Do you know what? It's funny you say that, because I'm wanting to say that it's an initiation. I don't know if it's got, because this is the thing, you know, like sort of when you, especially when you do something for the first time, like if you go back to when I was initiated in craft, it's your first time. It's an absolute blur. You don't remember much. It's
groggy from the drugs.
You're a bit like groggy from the drugs. Yeah, that's a great way of expressing it. Yeah, and it's sort of, I remember like certain aspects of what happened, but then at the same time, you kind of go away thinking, what just happened? I had a really good experience, and all of the people at that particular lodge, which is Castle Lodge, meets at Castle Grove, number 1257. They're all lovely, lovely folk, and they made me feel more than welcome. But it was just a very kind of different, again, like a different vibe to your standard craft scenario. It was quite laid back, but they were all very good at their. They'd all practiced their roles very well, and it follows on from your second degree.
Okay.
So it's an extension of the second degree, and personally, I think, having done it, it's a bit strange that it's something that they don't do in craft.
It's done in
anyway,
Scotland as part of your craft masonry.
Because it,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That sort of makes more sense.
It used to be, but they changed it when we used to have just 1 and 2 degrees. Then they changed it, and then Royal Arch came into it as well.
It's a shame that anybody who doesn't join this doesn't get
to
see this.
So this is an interesting thing. So there's a regular visitor to our lodge, who's Scottish from Glasgow.
Let's have a toast to Les. I'm sure he'd appreciate the irony.
Yeah, so
to Les.
Big Les.
To Leslie.
Big Les.
Wow.
And Les basically said that as a Mason in Scotland, yes, he went through the Mark degree as part of his craft. However, He couldn't visit a UGLE Mark Lodge or whatever the Grand Lodge of the Mark is. Basically, he couldn't just go and visit an English Mark Lodge. However, if the shoe's on the other foot, an English Mark Mason could go and visit to go watch.
But
a UGLE Master Mason
isn't considered a Master Mason under the Scottish Constitution unless they're also a Mark Mason.
Right.
There you go.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's interesting. Well, I mean, like I said, it's obviously it's up to the individual, but it's something that I thought, because I was you know, in conversations before I joined, obviously, I didn't know anything about it other than I was told that it was an extension of the second degree. Now, from my understanding is, why would you want to go any further without fully understanding the degrees that you're already in? So I just thought, yes, the you can have the finishing off of your Master Masons is by joining Royal Arch, but surely if that's the finishing off of your Master Masons, then before that, you should finish off fully knowing everything about being a fellow craft. That's just what I kind of thought. So I thought I'd do that.
How many degrees are there in Mark?
One.
Right, okay.
So everything that I've seen, by all accounts, aside from lectures, is all you will ever see. It's one thing that you see, and it is just to me, it finished off the second degree perfectly. And I think if I would have seen that in my second degree passing ceremony, it would have been a really memorable experience. I don't understand why it has to be a side degree,
right,
if I'm totally honest, but I'm really glad that I got to experience
Mark Lodge. Gilbert was supposed to be going into the chair and asked me if I'd be his candidate this year. So depending what happens when we come out of lockdown, at some point I'll be joining you on that that one single ceremony.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely...
Hopefully that will follow on, yeah. And it's a bit of a, once you've done it, it's a bit of a no-brainer. You just kind of think, oh yeah, I get it. It sort of made everything just really fit
so
into place.
The legend that I've heard of Mark or the something, you take something away from Mark, don't you? Which
you take something away, you definitely do, but you can say that for every time you go to any kind of lodge meeting, craft or whatever, you take something away, yes you do, and I am glad that I did it, and I am in fact glad that I did that before doing Royal Arch, just because in linear terms, I think it does follow.
And they do a lot for charity as well, don't they, through the Mount Benevolent Fund, I believe. A hell of a lot for charity.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, yeah. I was sort of a little bit bombarded afterwards with lots of papers and documents about all the different charities, and also, you know, a door opens immediately. It's now, here's all the different Master Mason lodges that you can go and visit, and you think, oh wow, this is more for me to do in my time that I have.
Not only that, just there's so many side degrees that spawn from Mark as well, aren't there?
Well, so there's the main one is RAM. And Royal Art Mariners, and I've already, as soon as I finished my entering of Mark, they kind of just said, "Would you like to join RAM?" And I said, "Yes,
okay,
do it." So, you know, while the going gets tough, the tough get going. I think, you know, you might as well just, it's just like both feet in. I just think just go for it. I just think if people are saying, do you want to do this? I'm kind of the kind of guy that just says yes.
From Mark Masonry's perspective, it obviously has like a bit of an allure to it about the whole like extension of the second degree. It's something that I'd certainly be considering, and I think I will look at joining that. And of course, there are other degrees that you can't join unless you are both in the Royal Arch and Mark. So I think certainly for the Allied degree, which I'm sure at some point on the podcast we'll see if we can get members from other side orders to come on and talk to us a little bit about what they're about. But you know, like you said, Jordan, it just opens doors, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's sort of all about your own personal journey. If you're interested, look into it. I'd be happy, more than happy to talk to anybody about it in more in depth. But I really like, you know, like I've been watching with all this lockdown stuff, I've been watching loads of just daytime TV.
Why did I come on?
I know, daytime TV, and a lot of the times when, you know, like you're watching stuff and like lots of cookery programs, some people might say stuff like, they'll use a certain brand, and then it's followed by, there are other brands out there. And that's sort of the way I feel about that. This, it's kind of like, I don't want to be some sort of spokesperson specifically just because I'm a member of that degree. There are other degrees, obviously, so I'm, you know, I don't want to lean anybody towards that, but it is, personally, I've really enjoyed it.
Record, like, a really quick-speaking, small print. Other side degrees are available. Side degrees may not be for everyone. Side degrees may have certain side effects. And...
No, yeah, it's good.
I need to go spend a penny again. I'll be back in a sec.
Right, so while the Wishful Master is going to go spend a penny, we will discuss the flip side of the coin, if you will, which, away from Mark...
Secret monitor.
You have the other option, of course, which is... no. Let's start that again.
I can hear it!
Edit this out! This is good. Cannot be going out live.
Moving on. We have the next part of the main topic, of course, is to discuss the Holy Royal Arch, which chapter is the is what we know as the next step in pure and ancient masonry, I think is what it's branded as. So here's the thing. I joined chapter earlier on in the year, really enjoyed the ceremony. And for me, yeah, I could see why it does complete the craft. It kind of completes the story in a sense, although I'm still sure that there's more to the story. Mm-hmm. It's basically an extension of what happens after the events of the third degree. However, Brother Andy, Wishful Brother Andy, who is currently...
Yeah.
He's back.
I'm back.
You're back now. Okay.
Yep.
Good. Was it a good one?
Another big one. I felt back up again.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant. Right, talk to us about chapter then. So your experience with
me.
Chapter. Yeah. Why did you join? What's your experience with chapter in the sense that, you know, what do you get from it?
My experience of chapter, where I describe myself is, I'm a Masonic alcoholic. It's not just chapter. There are other orders that I'm interested in the future that I will be looking to join. Chapter, it's only in the last year or so I've started to appreciate it more because I've not been able to get to many of the meetings due to work commitments and sometimes it clashed with Rose Choir. But it's definitely it's the extension, completing your Masonic journey, so to speak. It's a very spiritual degree for people like myself and Matt, because today we had a very long conversation spiritually. It tells the story of the rebuilding of the King Solomon's Temple, which was sacked in, I believe it was 586, 587 BC. And it's what the Masons, for want of a better word, found while excavating the temple that had been destroyed. And again, without going into it, without giving anything away, it is a lovely ceremony.
It is, yeah, definitely.
And within that, you have your... Each year you have the ceremonies, the installations, and there's lectures as well, which are, unfortunately, I don't think we'd be able to do them on the podcasts for people who are not in chapter, but the lovely pieces of ritual, so to speak.
Yeah, and Matthew, you obviously recently joined Chapter as well as I did.
So yeah, I joined in February, just before all this happened, and I found it exceptionally profound. I personally can't advocate for it enough. I think it's a fantastic order, and I think there are moments in that particular degree and the ceremony that it makes a real lasting impression on you. Without going into it, I think it's just lovely. It's a fantastic order, and I managed to get to a couple of visits just before this all shut down as well. So, like I said earlier in the podcast, I visited the Chapter of Fidelity for their installation, where I saw Alex go into the chair there and take the first principal's chair. And also, I managed to make a visit to Chantry Chapter over in Wakefield, because a lot of my members of my lodge are members of Chantry Chapter. One thing about side orders is obviously you can kind of spread your wings a little bit and join something that doesn't have a lot of members from your particular lodge in it. So it allows you to kind of expand your Masonic circles, if you would. Before I joined, I actually put on Twitter, I have kind of an anonymous Twitter account for Freemasonry, and I put on Twitter that it's semi-anonymous. No one really knows who it is.
This may have been true last year. Since then, you have been quite open about it.
But anyway, and the Grand Summers of Scarlet Cord, Ian Currens, sent me a tweet back basically saying that I'm like a man who goes on holiday to the same place at the moment. And once I'd done it, I'd realised that there is so much out there. And he was so true. It's already made me curious about joining other orders.
The curious thing about Royal Arch is that, unlike a lodge, you're not a brother. You're known as a companion, which is... it was once explained to me that a companion is even deeper. It's like a deeper connection. It's not just someone who you walk or wander with, but I think it goes back to being like a...
It's kind of, it's kind of an old military term. So the people that you used to spend and share your bread with and share your food and rations with were companions. So they were looking for something a little bit closer than a brother.
In a craft lodge, you have a worshipful master, and in Royal Arch is a bit different, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not known as chaps, masters are they? They're known as
you've got three grand principles, don't you?
And you've got three, so you've actually got three sort of masters of the lodge in a sense, although you've got one boss out of those three.
Yeah. We're talking about Chapter. I wouldn't say I made the mistake, but people said a mistake. I was going to make a mistake by joining the family chapters, so to speak, because there's a lot of members who were from either our lodge or our daughter's lodge. And at the time I joined as Mother Lodge Corona, who have unfortunately disbanded. So in future now, if I join any other side degrees, which I have every intention of doing, it will be outside of Aurora, possibly outside of Castle Grove, just to network. So I thought about joining Mark quite a few times, and it does make sense of what Jordan says. It's a continuation of your second degree, and then when you join your third degree, it completes the Master Mason's journey, so to speak.
When mentioning Royal Arch, it's important to kind of look at the history as well. And obviously, when the two Grand Lodges merged, it got written into the Book of Constitutions that pure ancient masonry consists of three degrees and no more, viz. Those of the Entered Apprentice, Fellow Craft, and the Master Mason, including the Supreme Order of the Royal Arch. So it was a very interesting way of phrasing it, I have to say.
Just before we wrap it up, we were talking about maybe giving a little bit more knowledge, insightful knowledge, masonically into this. And there's a couple of things that we were discussing. One of the things we wanted to talk about was the forget-me-not that we wear. So, Jordan, what's the symbology behind the forget-me-not?
Before I get into it, on a base level, I remember asking a fellow Mason before, as I was in the very early stages of joining, I remember saying, oh, you've got a forget-me-not. What's that all about? And he said it's to remember absent brethren.
It's on a similar note, yeah. It's German.
I know I'm going to get to that. But that was his kind of just like way of wrapping it up without having to go too far into it. But because I've got a few tattoos and I've actually got forget-me-nots tattooed on my arm before joining Freemasonry, which are for a personal reason. But then looking into it, when after I'd spoken to him, I kind of went home and did the old Google on it. And it stems from World War II. And obviously when the Nazi regime was in its height of power, the kind of Hitler was really against Freemasons because he thought it was part of the so-called quote-unquote Jewish conspiracy. So he wanted it eradicated. And a lot of Freemasons had to sort of find a new way of being able to recognize each other, but without being, you know, kind of so obvious. So they took on a new symbol, which was the forget-me-not, rather than the square and compass, keeping the flame of masonry alive without putting yourself up for...
Yeah. And not only were Masonic temples ransacked,
in a bad position. Yeah.
Many, many items taken away. But there were many Masons that actually ended up in concentration camps purely because they were Masons. And they used to wear a red triangle,
which
a red triangle symbolises a political opponent. So it wasn't just on the religious aspect of Freemasonry that he didn't like it.
Okay, so I think that pretty much wraps up the podcast for tonight. So, guys, thank you very much for coming on. Thank you for joining. And we'll call it there. So,
I still have Josh
Dockington. I've been your host, Brother Matt Namiri.
I am always Matthew Wharton.
Brother Ramoth.
And as always, I'm Andy Polviak.
Bye!
Aha!
Good night, all.
Good night.
Thanks for listening. So, you made it this far. Guess that must mean you actually like the podcast, or you just fell asleep and woke up at the end. Either way, God loves a trier. At the very least, you at least deserve to know what we've got cooked up for you next week. Matt, Josh, and Matthew will be talking with Jack and Barry from the Essex Cornerstone Club. Now, those guys are seasoned professionals, who will no doubt speak better English than these northern dudes. I wonder if they know anyone from TOWIE, not that I watch the show. Maybe they have some fake tan expertise. Just so I can get a break and a real job. Like Hollywood. Rather than recording for these British guys. Good night.